Going to the Jew First. This is the Everlasting Nation broadcast, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions in Hickson, Tennessee. Now we continue our program on the Book of Daniel with Dr. Reynolds Showers from Friends of Israel Gospel Ministry.
The term the indignation is the title in the Bible for God's program for Israel. The indignation for God's program for Israel until they repent and get right with God. The title of God's program for the Gentiles is the times of the Gentiles. The times of the Gentiles. And that's the title of God's program for the Gentiles, where he raises up these Gentile nations for different purposes. Now, what's intriguing is this. In chapter 8, there's a little horn. And the little horn in Daniel chapter 8 is Antiochus Epiphanes. Antiochus Epiphanes, this Greek ruler from Syria, who was going to persecute the people of Israel and try to force them into false worship. That's a little horn, Antiochus Epiphanes. The little horn of chapter 7 that we looked at, remember we saw the future revived Roman Empire will consist of 10 divisions with 10 equal co-rulers at the same time, but after a while there's an 11th little horn that rises to power from within that, and then he overthrows 3 of the original 10, becomes the dominant ruler then of that future revived Roman Empire. The little horn in Daniel chapter 7 is the Antichrist, that future ruler of the 7-year tribulation period of planet Earth. But the little horn in chapter 8 is Antiochus Epiphanes, who is going to persecute the Jews back there in Bible times after the Jews returned home from their Babylonian captivity. Now, to show you the difference between them, because some people say the little horn in chapter 8 is also the Antichrist, but it can't be. 3 reasons why they're different from each other. First, the little horn of chapter 7 comes from which kingdom? The Roman kingdom, the 4th kingdom portrayed there, the 4 beasts coming out. The little horn of chapter 7 belongs to Rome, the 4th Gentile kingdom foretold there in chapter 7. But the little horn of chapter 8 is from what kingdom? Greece, the 3rd kingdom. The 3rd kingdom doesn't belong to Rome at all. In addition, the little horn of chapter 7 was the 11th horn. He was an 11th horn, and he roots up 3 horns. He roots up 3 horns when he comes to power. He was an 11th horn there for the future tribulation, Roman Empire, etc. The little horn in chapter 8 is a 5th horn, because there were 4 horns after Alexander died and everything, for the 4 divisions, but 2 of them became prominent, Egypt and Syria, and so out of Syria, which is one of the 4 horns, there's this another horn that rises up from Syria, so that Antiochus is a 5th horn, 1 horn out of the 4 horns that would be part of the Grecian kingdom in the future. Now, the little horn of chapter 7, according to Revelation 7, how many years or months was he going to persecute people? 42 months or 3.5 years? 42 months or 3.5 years. When Antichrist comes to power, or the future revival of an empire, he will persecute people for 42 months. Jewish people, but also people that get saved during the tribulation period. 42 months or 3.5 years. According to the little horn of chapter 8, Antiochus Epiphanes, he was persecuting the Jews for a period of 6 years, over 6 years, or literally 2,300 days. 2,300 days, which would be over 6 years. So the little horn of chapter 7 is not the same as the little horn of chapter 8. And so in chapter 8, Daniel is struggling with what's going to happen to our people in the future. And God was revealing to him what was going to happen. That Medo-Persia was going to be conquered by the Greeks. And after Alexander the great king of the Greek kingdom, dies, it'll be divided, his kingdom. Only 2 of those divisions become prominent, Egypt and Syria. But from Syria, one of those kings, Antiochus Epiphanes, is going to severely persecute the people of Israel in their homeland. So that was his answer to Daniel along those lines. Now, when we come to chapter 9, God opens up to Daniel his extended future program for Israel. His extended future program for Israel. In chapter 9, verses 1 and 2, Daniel indicates that in 538 BC, which is the year after Medo-Persia conquered Babylon, when Cyrus ended the Babylonian captivity of the Jews, told them they could go home, Daniel didn't go back home. He stayed there under the Medo-Persian rule. So 538 BC, Daniel found God's declaration through the prophet Jeremiah, that the Babylonian captivity of the Jews would last for 70 years. That's very clearly taught in two passages in Jeremiah. Jeremiah 25, verses 11 and 12. Jeremiah 25, verses 11 and 12. And Jeremiah 29, verses 10 through 14. That the Babylonian captivity of the Jews would last for 70 years. Well, since the captivity had begun in 605 BC, when Daniel found this declaration in Jeremiah, he's calculating and seeing, hey, those 70 years are almost up. We're very near the end of this, near its end. And so in light of that, Daniel, realizing that that captivity would end and that people could go back home again and maybe function independently as a nation and prosper at everything, he approached God with a tremendous attitude of prayer. This revelation is prompting him to do this. Seeing we're almost at the end of the Babylonian captivity, as God foretold. So he approaches God with an attitude of prayer of genuine repentance, on part of the people of Israel. Thinking if they repent, God will surely end their captivity and let them go back home to their country. In the first part of his prayer, he utters confession of Israel's rebellion against God and God's word. Pours out his heart on this. God, you were right to do this to us and remove us from our homeland and put us into captivity for 70 years. You were right, and I confess to you as part of the nation of Israel that I'm confessing Israel's rebellion against you and your word. The second part of his prayer is supplication, asking God for God to forgive Israel and restore the people, Jerusalem, and the temple to their former estate. That's what he's praying for. God, please, please forgive us as a people and restore as a people back to Jerusalem and the temple into their former estate, their former way of life before they were carried captive to the homeland. That was his prayer. Beginning in verse 20 and going through verse 27, God gives his response to Daniel's prayer. Before Daniel stopped praying, God sent the angel Gabriel to him in the form of a man with new revelation that he'd never given before. The revelation was to the effect that God would continue to chasten Israel. For an extended period of time after the captivity. That's what he's revealing to Daniel, through the angel Gabriel. That God would continue to chasten Israel for an extended period of time after the captivity. Made it clear that the Babylonian captivity was only the first portion of God's indignation against Israel. The latter portion of God's indignation would come after the captivity of Israel ends, is what Gabriel, by revelation of God, is revealing to Daniel. Now, the new revelation is contained in chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. And you may want to turn to that together with me. Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. This is a very, very crucial prophecy that God is delivering. It has tremendous implications of what's going to happen to Christ in his first coming and what's going to happen to Israel later on, leading up to the second coming of the Lord Jesus. The revelation was to the effect that God would continue to chasten Israel for an extended period of time after the captivity, and that the latter portion of that indignation was going to come after the captivity. So the new revelation in verses 24 through 27, it revealed that God would continue to chasten Israel. He would continue to chasten Israel for at least 70 periods of 7 years. 70 periods of 70 years. That would be God's extensive future chastening of Israel when it's rebelling against him. He would continue to chasten Israel for at least 70 periods of 7 years. Look, if you would, please, at verse 24. This is what Gabriel said to Daniel. 70 weeks are determined. The word translated weeks is literally seven. Be 70 periods of 7 years. Each period consists of 70 years. So it's literally 70 sevens are determined upon your people and upon your holy city. Some very important things to see here. One thing is, it's the only Old Testament prophecy that we're going to see that presents the exact time that Messiah would be in the world, presenting himself to Israel as its Messiah during his first coming. This gives a very precise chronology that told the exact season of the year and the year the Messiah would be present in his first coming to the nation of Israel and officially present himself to the nation as its promised Messiah. We're going to see this. We probably won't get into that chronology until tomorrow morning. But we have to look at seven very significant things to note about this prophecy. Seven very significant things to see about this prophecy. First, this prophecy is God's program exclusively for whom? Your people and your holy city. Every part of this is God's program uniquely for the nation of Israel and for the city of Jerusalem. It has nothing to do with the church. It has nothing to do with the church. It's exclusively God's program for the nation of Israel and their temple and their city, as we're going to see. That's the first significant thing, and that's in verse 24. The second significant thing to note about this is the amount of time covered by this prophecy. Amount of time covered by this prophecy. 70 times 7 is how much? 490. The amount of time covered by this prophecy is 490 years. 490 years. With precision. 490 years. That's very clear in verse 24. Now keep in mind, why 7 year periods? Well, what was the calendar system that God gave to the nation of Israel when they came out of their bondage and slavery from Egypt? When you read Leviticus 25 verses 3 through 9, He divided up their calendar into how many segments? 7 year segments. For every one of these segments, the first 6 years you work. The seventh one, you rest. You let the land rest and all the rest. God gave Israel a unique calendar system way back there when he brought them out of Egypt. This is my calendar system for you. 7 year segments. And so now, in light of those 7 year segments of their calendar system, he's saying to them, Daniel, here's a unique program for the nation of Israel in the future. You've been wondering what's going to happen to our nation in the future. 70 periods of time are involved in this program. And each one of those periods of time consists of 7 years. So that it's a 490 year program that he's foretelling here for the nation of Israel.
You've been listening to a special presentation of Dr. Reynolds Showers, who went over the book of Daniel at a recent prophecy conference here at IBJM. And we invite you to come back next week as we will continue our series on the book of Daniel with Dr. Reynolds Showers. For more information, you can contact us here at IBJM at 423-876-8150 or go to our website at ibjm.org for more information. Until next time, may God bless and shalom. Thank you.